Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Śrī Bhakti Vedanta ki, Garantara Śrīmad Bhagavatam ki, Giridāsa Mahārāja ki, Nitai Gopremānande. So after nearly 13 years of study, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, finally arrive at Canto 10. It's a very auspicious moment. So we pray to Lord Krishna, we pray to Giriraj, Radha Vallabha, Gaur-Nitai, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, Srila Prabhupada, the assembled Vaishnavas, that we can continue with our study and complete the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Devaya.
So we'll read from the first verse onwards. The children will have to be quiet. If the children are making noise, you'll have to take them out. Otherwise, it will be too distracting. So children can stay, but as long as they're quiet, it's okay. But if there's any noise, they'll have to go. King Parikshit said, "My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god, with the exalted and wonderful characters of their kings."
At the end of the 9th canto, 24th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami summarized the activities of Krishna. He spoke of how Krishna had personally appeared to reduce the burden of the earth, how he had manifested his pastime as a householder, and how, soon after his birth, he had transferred himself to his Rajabhumi Leela. Parikshit Maharaj, being naturally a devotee of Krishna, wanted to hear more about Lord Krishna. Therefore, to encourage Sukadeva Goswami to continue speaking about Krishna and give further details, we thank Sukadeva Goswami for having described the activities of Krishna in brief. Sukadeva Goswami has said, I'll skip this Sanskrit and motivation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, known as Leela Purushottama, appeared as the son of Vasudeva, but immediately left his father's home and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationship with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavana, the Lord killed many demons, and afterward he returned to Dwaraka, where according to Vedic principles, he married many wives, who were the best of women, begot through them hundreds of sons, and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of householder life. The Yadu dynasty belonged to the family descending from Soma, the moon god. Although the planetary systems are so arranged that the sun comes first before the moon, Parikshit Maharaj gave more respect to the dynasty of the moon god, the Soma Vamsha, because in the Yadava dynasty, Krishna had appeared. There are two different Kshatriya families of the royal order, one descending from the king of the moon planet and the other descending from the king of the sun. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he generally appears in a Kshatriya family because he comes to establish religious principles and the life of righteousness. According to the Vedic system, the Kshatriya family is the protector of the human race. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Ramachandra, he appeared in the Surya Vamsa, the family descending from the sun god, and when he appeared as Lord Krishna, he did so in the Yadu dynasty or Yadu Vamsha, whose descent was from the moon god. In the 9th canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a long list of the kings of the Yadu Vamsha. All the kings in both the Somavamsa and Suryavamsa were great and powerful, and Maharaj Parikshit praised them very highly. Nonetheless, he wanted to hear more about the Somavamsa because that was the dynasty in which Krishna had appeared.
Thank you. So any points so far?
King Parikshit doesn't wear to the moon dynasty because Lord Krishna has
Yeah, Prabhupada's emphasizing in the first paragraph that King Parikshit had a taste for hearing the Bhagavatam. Now, the Bhagavatam itself is already said in the second chapter of the first canto that our goal is to develop Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, a taste for hearing about Krishna's pastimes. So now that we've finally got to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit, he wants to hear about Krishna's pastimes directly. Now, it's interesting because from the 4th canto, the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu had appeared. And there was a description of many great kings who appeared. But up until the kings are making too much noise. So whoever's making noise will have to... No noise. So up until, or from the 4th canto, we hear about the description of the dynasty coming from Swayambhuva Manu. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out there was no sweetness in the pastime. Not to the level that there is with Krishna's lila or Krishna's pastimes. So we have heard about the great kings, the descendants of the various dynasties, but we don't have the same sweetness involved in the katha. Even the Bhagavatam, up until now, the same level of sweetness has not been experienced or tasted. Even the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra have been mentioned briefly, but they don't have the same sweetness as Krishna's pastimes. So the main, if the kids are making noise, I'll have to go. Otherwise I can't concentrate. So the sweetness which is found in Krishna's pastimes is unparalleled. So Prabhupada makes this point. This is the deepest and the most... it is full of madhurya ras. So now Maharaj Parikshit, he has this taste for hearing about this. He's just heard for days. And it describes in this section, he is giving up eating and drinking water. So he is so absorbed in the katha at this point in time, his bodily necessities are not being acknowledged. Even though he is thirsty, he's hungry, his body is thirsty, he's hungry. And even previously, how did Maharaj Parikshit get into this position? Maharaj Parikshit, he hung the garland, the snake, around the sage, whose name was Samipya. So he hung the garland. Now, why was it that he did that? He was told that he was feeling hungry and thirsty. Actually, it was an arrangement of Yoga Maya, because he's a pure devotee. Prabhupada explains that. But he walks into the ashram, he's feeling thirsty, hungry, and he's disturbed that the sage does not give him a proper reception. So he picks up a dead snake and he wraps it as a garland, and then suddenly he is cursed by Sringi, the son of the sage. He says, because you cannot respect my father, you will be killed by a snake bird, Taksha. So he could not tolerate at that point in time, this is what he is thinking, Parikshit Maharaj, he cannot tolerate not eating, not drinking, but now that he's about to hear Krishna's pastimes, and now that he's absorbed in Vasudeva Katha, the katha of hearing the Bhagavatam, he doesn't even think about eating or drinking. So he's completely absorbed at this point in time. But even though he's been completely absorbed up until now, but it is being described by the Acharyas and by Prabhupada, there is a sweetness which is about to manifest in the pastime, which is not found in the other pages of the Bhagavatam. It's not found in any other place in the Vedic literatures, actually. It's only found in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, and in the writings of the Goswamis, the literatures and the pursuance of the Vedic version. So now he's about to hear about these pastimes. So he has a deep taste. So he's asking Sukadeva Goswami, please tell me What happened when Krishna came to earth? Tell me what Balaram did. Tell me what Krishna did. What did they do when they went to Vrindavan? Krishna, now Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Why does Krishna perform the pastimes in Vrindavan? What is the purpose of the Vrindavan pastimes? Why does Krishna perform his lila in Vrindavan? To attract us, yeah. What's that? Yeah, to attract the devotees. Ultimately, it's for unlimited enjoyment. Krishna performs his lila in Vrindavan to give himself unlimited pleasure and to give unlimited pleasure to his associates and to those who desire or covet or have lobh or greed to enter into those pastimes. So Krishna performs his Vrindavan lila for one reason, just for enjoyment. It is unrestricted enjoyment, which will be found in this canto. Even the enjoyment in this, it's not described in detail. The Shukadeva Goswami only says so much. But if you go into the writings of the Acharyas, it describes as unlimited enjoyment within the pastime, between Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan. And why does he perform his pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka? What is the main reason? To attract the people back, but specifically to establish dharma, perfect dharma. And you'll see in Dwarka, it describes that Krishna wakes up in the morning when the roosters are crying, when they make their noise. Then Krishna rises out of bed and he performs his charity. He gives charity to the brahmanas. He gives cows in charity. He performs jagya. He meditates upon himself. So he establishes perfect dharma or perfect activity. It shows us the perfect example. Yad yad acharati shrestas. Whatever must be shown to humanity, how they must act properly, then Krishna will show that in Dwarka. But in Vrindavan, his lila is just for enjoyment. So there are things which are contradictory to dharma. Because he's dancing with people who are apparently not married to him. So therefore it is considered to be externally like adharma, irreligious activity. But the activity is full, so we must transcend this attachment to mundane dharma. We must understand the transcendental lila of the Lord is supreme to anything. So Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are simply for his enjoyment. Now Prabhupada explains in the second paragraph that a leader must be extremely powerful. Krishna appeared in a Kshatriya dynasty. Why does he appear in those dynasties? And why does Lord Ramachandra appear in a Kshatriya family? Why does Krishna appear in a Kshatriya family? Because a leader must be powerful. When someone is powerful, we become attracted to them. So Krishna shows his potency to attract us. He doesn't have one wife. He has 16,108 wives. In 16,108 separate palaces. And every palace is how big? 4 square miles. So that's 2 square miles long, 2 square miles deep, 4 square miles. Right, that's a huge area. It's like from here to Kingsway or so. Like that, from here to there. It's like a huge, that's just the side of Krishna's palace. And that's where he just lives with one queen. And then he has unlimited palaces, practically, 16,100. So much potency. So Krishna is showing his supreme potency, his Aishwarya, to attract us to him. He is showing that he is the supreme Godhead, greater than any other incarnation even of God. And in the third paragraph, then Prabhupada explains that Krishna manifests the holy dharma when he comes to this material world. Any pastime that Krishna displays in the material world is not displayed on the platform of the material energy. Krishna's pastime is always displayed in his Daivi Prakriti. So he brings the holy dharma with him to perform his pastimes in the holy dharma to attract all the conditioned souls back to him. So these pastimes are completely spiritual. We must understand this from the outset. It must be firm in your consciousness that Krishna's pastimes are not mundane. Anything Krishna does in this canto, particularly in Vrindavan, it is not material. Because many people, they see Krishna as being material, or even immoral. No? But there is no immorality. This is the purest of pure pastimes. The most exalted of pastimes. So we have to study these very respectfully and very carefully. So, any points?
Not only Krishna is showing that Dharma is not the highest thing when he performs this pastime, he also makes his devotees follow that.
Makes what?
He makes his devotees also follow that. So I was listening to a lecture, and in that lecture, the Prabhuji was saying that actually Dasharatha Maharaj, he was so much on the platform of following mundane Dharma. So he kept up his promise to Kaikeyi, and he actually sent Ram for Vanvas. But same way, Vasudeva had also promised to Kamsa, but he did not keep up his promise. He actually followed Krishna's order and took Krishna out of Vrindavan. Actually, Vasudeva had promised, I'll bring every child to you for, so that you can heal it, but he did not keep up that promise. He was explaining that Vasudeva was actually on a higher platform that way from the point of view, that don't even just stick on to the Dharma, but follow whatever the Lord says.
Yeah, because the ultimate lesson is to show whose prema is more complete. So we see that Nanda Maharaj's prema is even stronger than Vasudeva's prema, and Vasudeva's is stronger than Dasharath. Dasharath could not bear to live without Ramachandra. Dasharath could not bear to live without Ramachandra, so he gave up his life. Then Nanda Maharaj and even Vasudeva, they thought if we give up our body or our lives, then Krishna could not survive. So even their love is even stronger. So in the Bhagavatam, and in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we hear about the description of the levels of prema. So we're going to hear about the highest, highest levels of prema within this canto being described. Any other points?
Yeah. Just to, for my own understanding, the chance that we might misunderstand, Dharma is not important. Dharma doesn't become important when you come to the prema stage. But we are not in that stage. For us, Dharma is equally important.
I wouldn't say equally important, but it's important.
No, we are not yet come to that stage.
No, I agree. I'm not arguing that point. Yeah. Obviously, we don't have prema. But...
So when Krishna does something which is beyond Dharma, that is okay. But we have to follow Dharma.
Yeah, that's naturally incurred. We all understand that. None of us think we are God.
Yeah. Sometimes we hear a statement that Dharma is not important. Which is a very dangerous thing, because that belief results in certain behavior which is which sets a bad example for its conduct.
Well, at least in this class you won't hear that Dharma is not important. Because we've already established that Krishna shows in Dwarka pastimes the importance of Dharma. But in Braj especially shows our prema is more powerful than Dharma. Because there are many examples, like in the pastime of the wives of the Jaggi Brahmanas, where Dharma is very much rejected, mundane Dharma, as an obstacle to pure bhakti. Anything else? Kids are making it too much noise, so they have to calm down. Too much noise. Was it?
Was it Nandamaran and Dasudevji, or was it the love of Yashoda?
That is the strongest.
Yeah.
Yashoda's love is strongest.
Yeah.
Okay. O best of Munis, you have described the descendants of Yadu, who were very pious and strictly adherent to religious principles. Now, if you will, kindly describe the wonderful, glorious activities of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, who appeared in that Yadu dynasty with Baladev, his plenary expansion. Jamila Lila, you want to read them?
The Brahmasrita 5.1 explains that Krishna is the origin of the Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme conqueror. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. The Brahmas, the heads of innumerable universes, live only for the duration of one breath of Brahma Vishnu. I worship Govinda, the original Lord, of whom Mahavishnu is but a portion of a plane of heavenly portion. Govinda Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Krishna's Bhagavan Swayam. Even Lord Mahavishnu, who by his breathing creates many millions upon millions of universes, is Lord Krishna's Kala Vishesha, or plenary portion of a plenary portion. Mahavishnu is a plenary expansion of Sankarshan, who is a plenary expansion of Narayan. Narayan is a plenary expansion of the Chaturviha, and the Chaturviha are plenary expansions of Baladev, the first manifestation of Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna appears with Baladev, all the Vishnu Tattvas appear with him. Maharaj Parikshit requested Sukadeva Goswami to describe Krishna and his glorious activities. Another meaning may be derived from this verse as follows. Although Sukadeva Goswami was the greatest muni, he could describe Krishna only partially, Amshena, for no one can describe Krishna fully. It is said that Anantadev has thousands of heads, but although he tries to describe Krishna with thousands of tongues, his descriptions are still incomplete.
Good. So any points?
Nobody can know Lord Krishna fully unless he reveals to you, then only you know of it.
Yeah. Any other points? So we're hearing about the appearance of Krishna and Balaram. Now, their limits cannot be fully understood. That's why it is said in the Sanskrit, the particular word which is used is Amshena. So what does Amshena mean? Apart. So it is translated as Balaram, Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Krishna's Amsha. Amsha means his part. But it is also used to describe, if we translate it a different way, that you cannot understand all of Krishna's pastimes. Only an amsha can be understood. Even Shukadeva Goswami, who is the greatest of all of the sages, he can only describe a portion of Krishna's glories or pastimes. They cannot be fully understood. The only way to understand them is by to serve Krishna in the pastimes. And then you'll have some understanding of the limits of those pastimes. So these pastimes are so powerful that they can completely purify the entire universe. So we must absorb ourselves in these pastimes. Human life is only meant for one reason. And this opening part of the 10th canto describes this point. We must develop Vasudev Katha Ruchi, or taste for hearing about Krishna. That is what human life is for. What is that verse? That's there in the first canto, a little bit earlier than the Vasudev Katha Ruchi verse. Not that one, the one after it. Before that. No? But basically it says, Shrama Ibihi Kevalam. Shrama Ibihi Kevalam. So Shrama Ibihi Kevalam means that if you've spent your life performing so many activities and having so much success in life, that you do not develop a taste for hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, then Shrama Ibihi Kevalam. Your life is Shrama. Shram means useless. It's a useless waste of time. You didn't achieve anything. So this is the goal of life, that we have a taste for hearing about Krishna and Balaram. And if you have that taste, it purifies everything within our consciousness. So our only objective in the next 4 years, if it takes 4 years to complete this, and if we can dedicate ourselves to this, is just to become completely absorbed in Krishna's pastimes and completely purified by the pastimes. You can make an unlimited advancement by hearing these pastimes. In the next 4 years, if you dedicate yourself to studying the 10th canto, you can make unlimited advancement practically. It is so powerful. So many points? The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life.
In this verse, the words Kratavan Jnani indicate that all the different activities Krishna performed
while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha, represented by Bhagavad Gita, spoken personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Sukadeva Goswami about the glories of Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna Katha is liberated. Kirtana eva Krishnaya mukta sangara param vrajat. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Yare Dekha Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage.
So, what are the points?
So, how important it is Krishna Katha in human life?
Too much important. Any other points? Yeah, you have to share this knowledge with others. If you're taking this course, then you have to give the knowledge to others also. Spread this consciousness of Krishna all over the world. Any other points?
The primary objective is to hear and glorify Krishna in the association of devotees.
Yeah, that's good. So, as being described here, that Krishna appears to give us bhava. What does bhava mean? You see here, it says Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana in the Sanskrit. Bhava means ecstatic feelings towards Krishna. Why does Krishna appear in this material world? So that we can develop our love for him. The whole point of studying the 10th canto is to rediscover your lost identity with Krishna. That's why we're studying the 10th canto. So you can reestablish your lost relationship. And you can overcome your upadhi or your mundane material relationship of thinking that you are something other than what you actually are. In the material world, we think we are a man or a woman or a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or a lawyer or a doctor or a whatever we think. So we all have these upadhi or false designation. The point of studying the Bhagavatam, the reason Krishna comes into the material world and performs his lila, is to attract us back to our vastu city, which means your eternal relationship with Krishna. That's why he comes. So he wants to give us this bhav. And this bhav means a particular feeling or a mellow in relationship. The goal of sadhana bhakti is sadhya. Rupa Goswami has established this. And what is sadhya? Sadhya means perfection. And what is perfection? Is bhava. And bhava leads to prema. So that is the goal, to re-establish our relationship with Krishna. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that if you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 15 or 20 years, and many of you have been practicing for, you're coming on to that. Some of you have been practicing for that long. Some of you are coming closer to that. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, at that point in time, you should start taking an interest in your eternal relationship with Krishna. Right? You can't just be a neophyte forever. If you don't develop an interest in understanding these things, sometimes in ISKCON we say, oh, these things are high, they're esoteric. Yes, they are high, they are esoteric. But they are also the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. That is what we are meant to be developing. We're not meant to be neophytes forever. At some point in time, we must take an interest in understanding our eternal relationship with Krishna. That's what Krishna is giving. That's why he comes. So, Parikshit Maharaj is saying to Shukadeva Goswami, please explain the pastimes elaborately. Go into the details. I want to understand everything about Krishna. Everything I've heard, everything I'm yet to hear, please explain it. I want to understand all of Krishna's pastimes in detail. And this is where the rasa is extracted. We find the rasa in Krishna's pastimes through the details. So in the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and the Acharyas, In books like Ananda Vrindavan Champu and Gopal Champu, you will find so many details on these pastimes. We're meant to extract those things and relish those things. So he's saying, please elaborate. I want to know more. I want to know more. I want to know the details. So we should absorb ourselves in these details of Krishna's pastimes. So, any points? Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? So, Tarabali, you want to read the first paragraph? What's that? Okay. Or we can use the book.
In just the first paragraph?
Yep.
In India, it is the practice amount, sorry, the practice among the general populace to hear about Krishna, either from Bhagavad Gita or from Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to gain relief from the disease of repeated birth and death. Although India is now fallen, where there is a message that someone will speak about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, thousands of people still gather to hear. This verse indicates, however, that such recitation of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam must be done by persons completely free from material desires. Everyone within this material world, beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, is full of material desires for sense enjoyment, and everyone is busy in sense gratification. But when thus engaged, one cannot fully understand the value of Krishna Katha, either in the form of Bhagavad Gita or in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Any point here?
He's mentioned when one is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, one should hear from pure soul, not from a mayavadi, because we seem to be bigger than reader of the Shukla. So it's a consciousness which gets transferred when one hears such topics. So if the speaker is not pure or is not in front of the system, then there is no effect.
And also, as Rishabhdev says, Nayam Deha Deho Bhajan Vilok Deha. Sense gratification is available to every human. Human beings have to go for higher happiness.
Yeah, that's good. So, as is being described here, that the problem with our consciousness is that we have material disease. In further in the Bhagavatam, it says Hridrog. Hridrog means disease of the heart. Now, what is our disease? It is lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. But Prabhupada says the enemy of the public enemy number one, is lust. That we have this disease of the heart. That we're attached to enjoying matter separately from Krishna. That is our consciousness now. We want to enjoy separately from Krishna. And as long as we try to enjoy separately from Krishna, that disease remains. So what is the cure for the disease? Sukadev Goswami is going to explain to us, it is hearing the Vasudev Katha. This cures the disease of material existence, our attachment to this material world. So you will experience, the Prabhupada explains this in the Krishna book, in chapter 30 or so, which is the pastime of Krishna with the gopis. The Prabhupada says the test, or the way that you can value, or what's the word? Qualify. Evaluate. The way that you can evaluate or qualify your Krishna consciousness is how much attachment you're developing to Krishna and how much detachment you're developing to the material energy. If you're becoming Krishna conscious, then you should be becoming more attached to Krishna and things related to Krishna. Like Vasudev Katha. And Prabhupada says in this purport, he says, the guru and the disciple, they become just interested in hearing Vasudeva Katha. They absorb themselves in hearing about Krishna. And the more that you hear about Krishna and become attached to him, then your material attachment or your material disease, you should feel that lessening. So the more you become attached to Krishna, the less you become attached to Maya. And it should be tangible. You must see, because sometimes you see people, they talk about Krishna's pastimes, but they're still attached to the material energy. Prabhupada points out the sahajiya mentality. Actually, the word sahajiya comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sahajiya means emotion. But prakrita sahajiya means they have emotional sentiment, but it's based on matter. Whereas real sahajiya, or we should be sahajiya, sahajiya just means emotional towards Krishna. It's a positive word. But we always use it in the negative connotation. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, prakrita sahajiya, which means you are attached to the material energy. You are emotional. You say, oh, I love Krishna, I love Krishna, but then you do so many material things. So where is the proof? How can you say, I love Krishna, but then I'm still attached to the material energy? So if you are actually detached, then you will show symptoms of detachment. You will not be absorbed in the material energy. You will be absorbed in Krishna Katha. You'll have a taste for hearing about Krishna. So Prabhupada points out, this is how we can understand. This is how we overcome the disease of the material energy. So we'll read the next, second paragraph. Priyabhan, you'd like to read that? Paragraph number 2.
Yeah. If you hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from liberated persons, this hearing will certainly free us from the bondage of material activities. But hearing Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by the professional reciters cannot actually help us achieve liberation. Krishna Katha is very simple. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As he himself explains, Matta Paratram Nanya Kirti Jasti Dhananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Bhagavad Gita 7.7. Simply by understanding this fact, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become a liberated person. But especially in this age, because people are interested in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from unscrupulous persons who depart from their simple presentation of Bhagavad Gita and distorted for their personal satisfaction, they fail to derive the real benefit. There are big scholars, politicians, philosophers and scientists who speak on Bhagavad Gita in their own polluted way, and people in general hear from them, being uninterested in hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a devotee. A devotee is one who has no other motive for reciting Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam than to serve the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to hear the glories of the Lord from the realized persons. Unless one is personally a realized soul in the science of Krishna consciousness, a neophyte should not approach him to hear about the Lord. For this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes the Padma Purana. One should avoid hearing from a person not situated in Vaishnava behavior. A Vaishnava is Nivritta Trishna. That is, he has no material purpose. For his only purpose is to reach Krishna consciousness. So-called scholars, philosophers and politicians exploit the importance of Bhagavad Gita by distorting its meaning for their own purposes. Therefore, this verse warns that Krishna Katha should be recited by the person who is Nivritta Trishna. Sukadeva Goswami epitomized the proper reciter for Srimad Bhagavatam. And Parikshit Maharaj, who purposefully left his kingdom and family prior to meeting death, epitomized the person fit to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, fit to hear it. A qualified reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right medicine for the conditioned soul. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to train qualified preachers to recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world, so that people in general in all parts of the world may take advantage of this moment, and thus be relieved of the threefold miseries of material existence.
Very good. Any points?
Prabhupada has been reiterating this point since the beginning of Bhagavatam, that always hear from a pure devotee and don't hear from professional reciters who are leading the business of the Bhagavatam. But because we are within the Institute of ISKCON and the Institute takes care of devotees, therefore they can actually recite Bhagavatam without having any expectation of any remuneration. But there might be some devotees who are also good devotees but who are outside any institution without the support of the institution, and they might have to pay some remuneration to support the institution.
So what's the point? What's the point?
So how do we understand this point in terms of that situation?
It means that's not the motivation for speaking the Bhagavatam. You know, devotees need an income. Devotees need some remuneration in order to survive. The traditional system is the brahmana accepts dakshina. So he gets remuneration, but that's whatever is given. He's not dependent upon it. So the devotee has to be careful he doesn't become dependent upon the remuneration. Not attached to it. Otherwise it weakens his presentation. That's why it says that we should hear from someone who is detached like that. So the best people to hear from are the sannyasis. If they're actual sannyasis, brahmacharis, they're detached. That's why we give them respect. And the grihasthas, you see that if they're speaking and they're not adulterated or not affected or not controlled by the remuneration they may receive, then you can hear from them. And it will be as potent, the potency of the speaker is in, I'm just trying to think of the word, correlation with the amount of detachment that he has. If he's genuinely detached, then he will have potency in his words. If he's not detached, if he's motivated, then the strength of the message weakens. So the more detached someone is, then the more powerful they become. So, any other point?
When we hear Krishna Katha, we should apply the knowledge to ourselves and speak from realization. Instead of being professional reciters at the mundane level.
Yeah, if someone doesn't have realization, then there's no potency in what he says. Because many devotees are scholarly. They have jnana, but a brahmana is jnana vijnana, ashtikyam, Krishna says in the Gita. You must have knowledge, but also realization of how to apply the knowledge. So that is when someone becomes potent as a speaker. Not that he's learned, but he has realization of how to apply it. Then he becomes actually potent. So we should look for someone who has those qualities. So, someone else had a point?
I just wanted to add to what Mataji said. There are quite a number of people, even outside ISKCON, who are very, very powerful speakers with very deep love. I know somebody in South India, for example, who has some very, very wonderful reciters of Bhagavatam. And they can really touch your heart. I know only but one person called Krishna Premi. You bring tears to your eyes if you listen to him. So I'm saying that, yeah, people view, as you said correctly, people view dakshina. It's not that there's an entrance fee for people to come. There's no entrance fee. But people do dakshina because out of love.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the traditional system. The traditional system was the brahmanas, they subsist upon dakshina. Whereas you see these days in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult for that to take place. But that should be the system. Because then the brahmana cannot be controlled. As soon as you bring him under a wage system, you can control what he says. Therefore, if someone is not, and that's why Chanakya says the brahmana should never receive a wage from the king. Then he remains pure and potent in whatever he says. So Prabhupada is emphasizing here that we have to develop an army of preachers of the Bhagavatam. Devotees need to be trained and they need to become qualified to present this knowledge. So it is expected that everyone in ISKCON who is hearing this Krishna Katha, they should develop a potency and they should develop enthusiasm to preach. Prabhupada said preaching is the family business. All of us should become preachers. Don't just keep it to yourself, but preach it to someone. Teach someone. As Burajan Prabhu said to me, he said, you only learn the Bhagavad Gita when you teach it. If you don't teach others, you don't learn it. You don't imbibe it. So you have to teach. So it is the duty of everyone in this room, but everyone in ISKCON, to do that. So Prabhupada said, I was enthusiastic for Shravanam, now I am enthusiastic for Kirtanam. Because Prabhupada's guru said, I've marked him. He likes to hear. He does not go away. So that is our first qualification. Vasudev Katar Ruchi. We develop a taste for hearing, and then what is the natural consequence? Yeah, you get detached, but then you become enthusiastic to teach others. Right? If you're enthusiastic to learn this knowledge, you'll be enthusiastic to give it to others. Otherwise, there's not as much pleasure. So that is expected, Prabhupada is saying. He's expecting that all of us become preachers of Krishna consciousness. As much according to our capacity. Doesn't mean everyone will give classes, but I mean you have to teach others, even if it's in an informal setting. And actually, when I was in Govardhan at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram with Keshava Bharati Maharaj, one of our sannyasis in ISKCON, he resides at Govardhan Hill, and he was reading one. It was like a teaching of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, or a lesson from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mind. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he was giving big Bhagavat Shabdahas, means big lectures, and hundreds of people were coming, even thousands of people were sometimes coming. So he said, even though I'm giving lectures to all these people, he said, I find hardly even one of them is actually sincere to hear and understand the message. And that was more than 100 years ago in Bengal and India. And he said, even back then, he said, most of the people are not coming to actually hear. He said, the real preaching is done one-on-one, outside of the class. When people come to see me in darshan, and then, he said, at that time, that's when I really do the preaching. He said, these big lectures, he said, don't care so much for these big lectures. You know, sometimes we feel, I have so many people listening, and that we become attached to having a big audience. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the real preaching is when you just get one person or a small group and then you can just infiltrate. Or you can have 1,000 people if they actually want to learn about Krishna. But quite often people, they don't have that taste. So, any points? Okay, so Janeshwar, can you read the next paragraph?
The instructions of Bhagavad Gita and the description of Srimad Bhagavatam are so pleasing that almost anyone suffering from the three, four miseries of material existence will desire to hear the glories of the law of the Lord from the books and thus benefit on the path of liberation. Two classes of men, however, will never be interested in hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are determined to commit suicide and those determined to kill cows and other animals for satisfaction of their own tongues. Although such persons may make a show of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam at a Bhagavata Saptaha, this is but another creation of the Kavis, who cannot derive any benefit from such a performance. The word Pashugna is important in this connection. Pashugna means butcher, person fond of performing ritualistic ceremony for elevation to the higher planetary system, must offer sacrifices, yagna, by killing animals. Lord Buddha Deva therefore rejected the authority of the Vedas because his mission was to stop animal sacrifices which are recommended in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Even though animal sacrifices are sanctioned in Vedic ceremonies, men who kill animals for such ceremonies are considered butchers. Muchas cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness, for they are already materially allured. Their only interest lies in developing comfort for the temporary body. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense gratification, sense enjoyment, and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, and the sitting dissemination of devotional service to the Supreme Person of the body does not take place. Srila Narottama Das Thakura says, anyone who is not Krishna consciousness and who therefore does not engage in the service of the Lord is also Pashumna, for he is willingly drinking poison. Such a person cannot be interested in Krishna Katha because he still has a desire for material sense gratification. He is not Nivruta Krishna. As it is said, Tavayanikas Te Purusha Yumukha Hari Mevasa. Those interested in Trivarga, that is in Dharma, Artha, Kama, are religious for the sake of achieving a material position with which to gain better facilities for self-gratification. Such persons are killing themselves by willingly keeping themselves in the cycle of birth and death. They cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness.
Very good. So, any points?
Animal killing is one of the most abominable activities that one can perform. So it's called his killing his own self. Then he calls as a butcher for killing animals, but he's killing himself.
Yeah. Yeah, it is described that the cause of all sinful activities, papa, is described in Nectar Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami. The reason we do everything is avidya. Avidya means ignorance. We don't know who we are. Now, as devotees, we're waking up. We're in a state of like amnesia. We're beginning to come out of it and understand who we actually are. So because of ignorance, we still identify with the mind and the body. Whereas a devotee, he becomes liberated from the mental platform, from the bodily platform of life. And he understands his eternal relationship with Krishna. So why does anyone perform all of these ignorant activities? It's because of attachment to the material world, which is based on avidya. Avidya means you don't understand who you are. So therefore you'll kill animals. And you'll even kill yourself. That means you destroy your opportunity to make advancement in spiritual life. So a devotee, he directly avoids the association of those who are too attached to the material way of life. So Lord Chaitanya says, a satsanga tyaga, a vaishnava acha. A devotee is known, Lord Chaitanya says, for avoiding the asatsanga, or the association of the non-devotees. Because the non-devotees, and Rupa Goswami explains this in the Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction, the Janasanga, Chaloyamcha. He says that the Janasanga is the cause of all of the negative qualities. Achahara, Priyashascha, all of the negative qualities, Loyam, all of the material qualities, they come from Janasanga, from material association. And then we develop our ignorance. So therefore we have to give up and be very careful of materialistic association. You only associate with the materialists just to give them Krishna. Otherwise, be very cautious. So, any points? Okay, so read the last paragraph. Uddhava Vandapur, the last paragraph in this purport. You can read that.
When discourses on Krishna Katha take place between a liberated spiritual master and his disciples, others also sometimes take advantage of hearing these topics and also benefit. These topics are the medicine to stop the repetition of birth and death. The cycle of repeated birth and death by which one takes on different bodies again and again is called bhava or bhava roga. If anyone willingly or unwillingly hears Krishna Katha, his bhava roga, the disease of birth and death, will certainly stop. Therefore, Krishna Katha is called bhava aushadha, the remedy to stop the repetition of birth and death. Karma is for person attached to material sense enjoyment, generally cannot give up their material desires. But Krishna Katha is such a potent medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna Kirtana, he will certainly be free from his disease. A practical example is Dhruva Maharaj, who at the end of his tapasya was fully satisfied. When the Lord wanted to give Dhruva a benediction, Dhruva refused it. Swami, Kritta Dosmi, Varam Mache, my dear Lord, he said, I am fully satisfied. I do not ask for any benediction for material sense gratification. We actually see that even young boys and girls in the Krishna conscious moments have given up their long practice of bad habits like illicit sex and meat eating, defecation and gambling. Because Krishna consciousness is so potent that it gives them full satisfaction. They are no longer interested in material sense gratification.
So one time Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and a magician came. And the magician was showing some tricks. And Prabhupada was sitting behind his desk in his room in Vrindavan. And there's a few devotees there and guests. And the magician was doing some tricks. So Prabhupada was enjoying. He was laughing and the magician was doing tricks. But then the magician came up next to Prabhupada and he went and he pulled a coin for Prabhupada's ear. Like some mystical trick. And then Prabhupada became very sober. And he said, what is your magic? And then the magician became a little like that. And then the magician said, Swamiji, what is your magic? And then Prabhupada said, this is my magic. They were all addicted to intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, meeting, and now I cure them of their disease. He said, this is my magic. This is the proof that we are becoming attached to Krishna. It cures the material disease. Now, Prabhupada points out in the purport, usually in Ayurveda, if you take a medicine, it usually tastes disgusting. That's the qualification for Ayurvedic medicine. And it must taste like bitter and like, not all of them. Many of the medicines are healthy, but some of them are very bitter. But Prabhupada says that this particular medicine of hearing Krishna Katha, it is sweet, right? It's satisfying to the ear, to the heart, and it cures your disease simultaneously. So it is easy. You don't have to do something which is austere. Susukam, Krishna says in the 9th chapter of the Gita, that it is joyfully performed, this process of dharma, or sanatana dharma, or bhakti yoga. Devotional service is joyful from the beginning until the end. The only reason that we do not find it joyful or we don't have a taste, Rupa Goswami says in the Upadeshamrita, because it is like you have a jaundice condition. So while you're diseased or jaundiced, everything tastes bitter. So in the beginning, chanting Hare Krishna, it tastes bitter. Hearing the Bhagavatam, it tastes bitter. But when you develop, your Krishna consciousness is recovering, it becomes sweet as nectar. And you cannot stop yourself from taking it. I remember the first time I chant the Hare Krishna mantra, a devotee, I came into the temple president, Balaram Prabhu, before any rubri, gave me beads, and he said, have you chanted? And I said, chanted what? He said, Hare Krishna. And so he taught me the Maha mantra, he said, you go home and you chant. So the next morning I woke up, started chanting on the beads, but I could hardly even say the words, because so much sinful activity. Hare Krishna, I can remember, my lips could not make the sound properly. It took me about 4 rounds or something until I could actually begin to say the mantra properly. So in the beginning it is bitter, there's no taste. But when you become purified, you develop unlimited taste. Prabhupada says, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? If you have a taste for Krishna Katha for chanting, you can chant unlimitedly. Prabhupada says 16 rounds on beads, unlimited rounds off beads. Okay.
Yeah. But at the same time, you mentioned that there was in Vrindavan when one speaker was giving a class and he was mentioning the whole crowd who is sitting, there is only hardly one person who is interested in that. So here it's like, you know, someone hearing unintentionally getting so much benefit, like, you know, getting debated. Whereas other side, there are people coming to listen to that speaker, but that speaker is saying that, you know,
hardly anyone is interested. Yeah, because it depends on the qualification of the heart. Right? What is going on in your consciousness? Are you hearing for the right reason? That's the point. So you have to determine what is your motivation for hearing. Sometimes devotees, they're still very, like sometimes you go to congregational members, devotees, even in ISKCON. So we go to devotees' houses, and on the altar, they have Radha Ballabha, Gaudentai, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, Shiva, Ganesh, so many there, Durga, Sai Baba. I've been to devotees' houses, congregation members, they have so many. I say, why do you have all the gods? Oh, because just in case, you know, we have to make sure everyone's happy. But that's not the philosophy of the Bhagavatam. So we have to see what is in our consciousness. Just like when you walk into the temple room, you see some people, you know, they bring the bell four directions, ding, 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 ding. They go in front of the deities. Now that, you know, so what is it, what's in the heart? Why are you coming to the temple? What is your prayer to Radha Balaba? Why are you hearing the Bhagavatam? Just so you can get punya? Or are you hearing so you can develop love for Krishna? That's the point. Does that answer your question? So why are all the people coming? So many people are coming. Bhakti Santasaraswati Thakur says, 100 years ago he was in Bengal, so many people are coming, they're just becoming because everyone comes. So that's not the reason to come. Why do you go to the Bhagavatam? Because everyone else is going? Or are you going because you want to hear the Bhagavatam? What's the point? Understand? Yeah. So then someone who comes, if they had that real intensity or that real... Prabhupada said we should hear with rapt attention. You can't fall asleep. Do you ever fall asleep in class? No, you don't. Okay, that's good. I don't fall asleep in class. Only if I'm very, very, very tired, which is very rare. Once or twice a year, I'll start to nod off a little bit. But no, I go to class because I want to hear. I don't go to class because, you know, making sure, you know, does anyone see that I'm in class? Is that our motivation to go to class? Or I go to class and I'm on my iPhone, you know, I do my Facebook. Why are you in class? Or you're there but you're not really listening or you're falling asleep, and that's not the point. You go there because you should be hearing with rapt attention. You want to hear the message of the Bhagavatam. Taking the boat to Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma resembled great fish that could very easily have swallowed them. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed this ocean, which was very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the hoof print of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarsan Chakra in hand, entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashwatthama. Lord Sri Krishna appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings, by his own potency, in the forms of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and as Virat Rupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, the safest protection is the lotus feet of Krishna. And Prabhupada says for the devotees and the non-devotees. Because the devotees, if they become attached to Krishna, they become liberated from the material world. And the non-devotees, even if they're not attached to Krishna, but they just chant the word Krishna. Just like one time Prabhupada pulled up in the temple, I think it was in San Francisco. And Prabhupada, this is like 1967, very early days, 68 I think it was, early days of ISKCON. And the man across the road from the temple, he put up a big signboard in front of his house. Hare Krishnas are bad and Hare Krishnas are this and they are brainwashing and they are a cult. So when Prabhupada got out of the car, all the devotees were on this side and their sign was behind. And the devotees were trying to distract Prabhupada so he would not see the sign because they thought he would be upset. And Prabhupada got out of the car and he turned around and he looked at the sign and he read the sign. And he said, very good. Because the man is purifying himself and everyone else. Hare Krishnas are a cult. Hare Krishnas are brainwashing. Hare Krishnas are so many things. So people, if they just chant the holy name of Krishna, they get unlimited benefit. So for the devotees and the non-devotees, everyone who hears Krishna Katha or hears the holy name, they get unlimited benefit. So what to speak of us who hear it favorably? And we get so much better. My dear Shukadev Goswami, you have already explained that Sankarshan, who belongs to the second quadruple, appeared as the son of Rohini named Balaram. If Balaram was not transferred from one body to another, how is it possible that he was first in the womb of Devaki and then in the womb of Rohini? Kindly explain this to me. So these four verses, 8 or 11, Shukadev Goswami, sorry, Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukadev Goswami and about the appearance of Lord Krishna. Please explain the pastimes. I want to hear all the details about Krishna, about how Krishna was preceded by Balaram, and Balaram was transferred from one womb to another. So he wants to hear all the details. These will all be spoken about in detail in the following chapters. Why did Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leave the house of his father Vasudeva and transfer himself to the house of Nanda in Vrindavan? Where did the Lord, the master of the Yadu dynasty, live with his relatives in Vrindavan? Lord Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and in Mathura. What did he do there? Why did he kill Kamsa, his mother's brother? Such killing is not at all sanctioned in the Shastras. Why would you kill your uncle? If you kill your uncle, then it's a huge pap, a huge sin. But Krishna does it, it becomes the most purifying activity. So we'll hear why Krishna killing Kamsa, his uncle, how Kamsa became benefited, and also we will become benefited. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body, yet he appears as a human being. For how many years did he live with the descendants of Vrishni? How many wives did he marry, and for how many years did he live in Dwarka? O great sage, who know everything about Krishna, please describe in detail all the activities of which I have inquired and also those which I have not. For I have full faith and am very eager to hear of them. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water, yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Grantaraj Ashima Bhagavatam. So tomorrow night we'll go from verses 14 to 26 as we continue in the drama of Krishna's pastimes. I have a few more course books. If anyone needs a course book, I only have a couple left. Otherwise you'll have to copy them off the other devotees. And as we said last week, for the classes, devotees need to give a fee. If you're coming to hear the class, you need to give a fee. You need to give the fee on a weekly basis. Last year, everyone was giving whenever they wanted. But if you want to come, then you have to give on a weekly basis. So please bring your fees tonight or tomorrow night. Shri Prabhupada ki.